This morning, I want to talk about or look at what God desires for His church, what God desires to do in His church now, and what is the next thing that God has for us, both spiritually and practically. I'm titling these messages for the next 4 weeks simply, Next Thing Now. What is the next thing we need to plan for now? Dreaming and planning for the practical, desiring and pursuing the spiritual. As I think about the next thing now, I think about characters in the Bible like Peter. Peter is called by Jesus. He follows Jesus. And I'm sure there were times that Peter probably wondered, what's next? What's the next thing? And Jesus eventually, of course, went through a mock trial, a false trial. During that time, Peter ends up denying Jesus 3 times. I'm sure after that moment, Peter was asking, what's next? Look what I've done. I've messed up. Surely there was a moment that Peter thought, where I was heading is not where I'm going now. But the Bible goes on and tells us the story that Jesus rose from the dead, that he met with Peter, met with the other disciples, and told them to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And on the day of Pentecost, these people were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they began to wonder, what's next? Well, the next thing was for Peter. Peter was the first one to preach the gospel message after Jesus had ascended. And some 3,000 people put their faith in Jesus as the Messiah. Later, we have a story of Paul in the New Testament. We know him as, or Paul, or Saul. He became a believer. Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus and was blinded. Surely Paul was wondering, what's next? This is what it's about. But God restores his sight. And Paul becomes one of the greatest missionaries carrying the good news of Jesus to many places, wherever, so that many people believed and put their trust in Jesus as their Savior. You see, the church was born in those early days after Pentecost. And the church has been endeavoring to do the next thing now for 2,000 years. I believe that God still desires to use his church in a powerful way today. And we need to be looking for the next thing now. Church, I want to be careful that culture does not sneak up on us. And we as the church live unprepared. I believe God is preparing his church for the next thing. That's why we've been given the Word of God. We've been given instructions about end times and things of that nature. We've been given his Word of God so we know how to live. But today I want to start right here. In a moment, we are about to baptize 6 individuals who are going to share their testimony of faith in Jesus publicly and follow through in obedience to God's word and be water baptized. You see, our faith today is because of what Jesus Christ did for us on a cross. He forgave us of our sins and he paid the penalty for the consequence of our sin. He did this so we could be free from the power of sin and restore the relationship that was broken between us and God the Father. What is the next thing now? First of all, this morning, before we go anywhere else, church, I want to relay the foundation of why we are here. We are here because we have been called to seek and to save the lost. What's the next thing is knowing that Jesus came to save people and save anyone who would believe. And that starts with us knowing this. Number one, everyone is a sinner. Say that with me. Some people have a hard time saying that because they want to think I'm good, that I've done something worthy in life. The Bible tells us everyone is a sinner. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. James 2:10, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Church, we need to understand everyone is a sinner. Everyone is or needs salvation through Christ. And number two, therefore, salvation is by grace, which is undeserved mercy and not works. It's by grace, not works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. 2 Timothy 1, 9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. What kind of life? Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Titus 3, verse 5, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Salvation comes by grace alone. And not only that, number three, that reminds us that salvation is only through Jesus. Acts 4, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2, 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. A passage you're familiar with, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So what's next? Believe on Jesus. Church, all these scriptures teach us that, you know, we've all sinned. We need salvation through grace. It only comes through Jesus, but we need to believe on Jesus. John 11, Jesus said to her, he was talking to Martha. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? He asked. In Acts 16, verse 31, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. In Romans 10, Paul writes to this group of individuals. He says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Church, we need to believe on Jesus. And that is why our faith and our meeting this morning is in the name of Jesus. And that is where we start. You see, church, I can't go to the next thing now without starting with the first thing. And that is that we would put our faith in Jesus. Those who are about to be baptized, publicly confessing their faith in Jesus, they're doing that because they've made their decision. But this morning, Pastor Matt, would you come? I want to start by, I don't know where your life is. And church, this is not a game we play. This is not about coming here and trying to get money. Unfortunately, there are many places out there that have abused and messed up what this thing is all about. This is about your soul. This is about your eternity. And this morning, I've got things in my heart that I believe God has put there. There are things that I want to dream about, things I want to do and pursue. But church, we're a church and we do it together. And I want to walk the path together. And I got to thinking, what's the next thing? And the next thing is to start with this thing, is that if you're not a believer, you need to get on board. This morning, you need to put your faith in Jesus. There is no other way. And I know people go, well, why do I really need it? You're a sinner. And Jesus is the only way. The cross really happened. And the resurrection really happened. God so loved the world, it really happened. But if you believe, it can really happen. Your life can be changed. Why? Because God came to save the world. Save every life if they would just put their faith in Him. I know there's a lot of other religions that make a lot of other claims. But I'll tell you what, one of the main struggles, if you'll watch, is that they all put it on works. It's all about what you can do, what you can achieve. I'm telling you this morning, the Word of God teaches us strictly, it is by faith through grace. You don't have to be good in the sense of coming to Him. You let Him work on the inside, and God will work on the outside in time. Church, you'll never be good enough in your own self, but you need to surrender today. I don't know, maybe you knew Him at one time and you've allowed things in your life to cause you to slip back. Well, today I'm calling you, come home. God loves you and He wants to be a part of your life. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads in the balcony main floor today. Maybe it's a first time for you. Maybe it's a rededication, a recommitment of your heart. This morning we had several in first service, and in this service, I want to lay the foundation clearly before we go to the next thing. But if you have not accepted Jesus or you need to recommit your life today, would you just slip your hand up and right back down? And we're going to pray together. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm just looking around. You can put your hands down. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Is there anyone else? You see, church, we're going to lay the foundation because He's a Savior. He saves. He loves you dearly today. Cares about your eternity. Amen. Here's what I'm going to ask. I want all of us to pray together. We're going to all reset the standard in our life of who Jesus is. So would you pray with me by saying, Heavenly Father, I believe that You sent Your only Son. I believe He died for me. I believe He rose again. And today, I ask You to forgive me of my sin. Wash me, make me clean. And I choose this day to live for You for the rest of my days. This I ask in the mighty name of Jesus for Your glory. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you celebrate these that gave their hearts to the Lord? Church, this is about us laying the foundation. He is the cornerstone. The Bible teaches us that we have to build our lives on Him. I'm telling you, storms are going to come. They're going to hit your house. They're going to hit your life. But if you are founded on the rock, all the storms, all the waves, they can hit your house. But that house will stand because it's on the rock. It's on Jesus. And so today, I want us, as we just prepare our hearts in worship, and we prepare our hearts for what God wants to do, I want us to make ourselves ready. Those that are getting ready for baptism, if you haven't, you can slip on back. And we're about to baptize, and you're about to hear the testimony of those who have put their faith in Jesus today. Amen. All right, part two. What is the next thing now? After we're saved, what do? We say, this is it. I've given my testimony. I love the Lord. What's the next thing? Church, I'm telling you, you need to live a life of worship. a life of worship. I'm not talking about music. I'm talking about of honor to God in everything you do. We have to live each day in surrender, in acknowledging God in every area of our life. This morning, we're going to look at Psalm 95, and I'm going to look at seven thoughts in this psalm, and we're just simply going to learn them in an acrostic of the word worship, W-O-R-S-H-I-P, worship. Let me just read a few verses for you, and then we'll get into it. Psalm 95, beginning at verse 1. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, may you take it and penetrate our hearts and lives with it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to walk through the whole psalm in a few minutes, and we're going to use letters to help us walk through it. The first letter is W. W simply stands for worship God. Worship God. I think it is significant that this psalm begins with a summons to worship. The verse says, come, come. It may only be one word, but it is an important word. It's a powerful word. Church, we are being summoned to come into the presence of the Almighty God and worship before him. In fact, this is given three times. Verse 1, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Verse 2, let us come before him with thanksgiving. Verse 6, come, let us bow down in worship. Worship, listen, is not optional for God's people. It is not an option. It is something that has specifically been requested of us. Come, come, come. It's an invitation. Come to get to know God. Come find peace. Come find everything you need. Church, we are to come to him, and we need to come to him every day. Amen? Now, I understand that everybody's view and take on worship can be a little bit different. Maybe you're Pentecostal and charismatic. Maybe you came from Baptist or Catholic or Lutheran background. Maybe you're young or maybe you're old. And we all come with different viewpoints on how we're to worship. However, that's not my point this morning is how. This morning is that we are called to worship. Your style does not make worship worship. Coming and acknowledging God for who he is what makes your worship worship. The good news is that all throughout Scripture, we are given different ways to worship. It says, lift up your hands, clap your hands. There's other places you hold your hands out. There's some with palms up, some with palms down. There's where we bow before him, even being prostrate, laid before the Lord. Church, it's not about the correct style or position of worship. It's about having the right heart of worship. And we need to worship God every day. But the O stands for overflow with God's praise. Listen to it. Come and let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud. When was the last time you really shouted for God? A few of you do it each week. It's like, yeah. And everybody around you goes, praise God for them. It's interesting in church. There's all these styles. And you can sing. You can shout aloud. You can come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. You see, when our love and our gratitude for God and for who he is, when it fills our life to a certain point, it simply overflows into worship. Worship is simply focusing and fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And when we get our eyes fixed on him, we begin to overflow with that kind of thinking because God is good. You know what? He's for me. He's not against me. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. Eugene Peterson, he's the author of The Message, which is a paraphrase of the Bible. But he says this. Listen carefully. Worship does not satisfy our hunger for God. It whets our appetite. Our need for God is not taken care of by engaging in worship. It deepens. It overflows the hour and permeates the week. You see, church, we've been called to worship. And when we truly worship, we will overflow with praise in whatever form that may take. Oh, music is a good way to do it. I love music. But in the car, maybe mowing the grass, maybe while you're working out, whatever that might be, music can help you get your thoughts focused on worshiping God. And then you overflow in worship. I know of some who do worship while they're working out. And you know what? If you get a little bit loud and your neighbor over there, maybe in the fitness center, and you're like, oh, God, you're good. Praise God because it's overflowing. Don't worry about what other people think. Overflow in your worship. W-O-R. Recognize God's position. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Here we have the psalmist showing us that it's the Lord who's deserving of our overflow expression of worship. Why? Because he is the great King. He's the one who rules and reigns and is sovereign over the entire universe. He rules over continents and spans the seas. His dominion is to the depths of the valley and to the peaks of the mountains. God is the great King above all gods. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we need to recognize his position because he sits also over the spiritual part of our lives. Though he's over the universe, he's over me. And I need to honor that. We may be able to worship God in a lot of different ways, but let me tell you this, none of them have anything to do with treating God flippantly. His position is great, and we need to give him. There's an angel in the book of Revelation. He makes a connection between respecting God and worshiping God. In Revelation 14:7, he says, "Fear God," he shouted. "Give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge." Do you understand? He is sovereign, and he's going to judge this world. But those who are caught and covered by him, he protects them. And that's why he says, "Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water." We need to respect God and recognize how great he is. The S stands for submit to God as his possession. Listen to verse 6. "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before" who? "The Lord our Maker. For he is," help me out, "for he is, and we are the people of the flock under." Today, if you only hear his voice. Church, we are under his care. We bow down, we kneel before him. As we look at this passage, we find that our submission is not demanded for the benefit of God. God is not on a power trip. Rather, we submit to God because it's in our best interest to do so. Note that we're under God's care. By submitting to God, we're allowing him to meet our needs. He provides for us. He cares for us. But if we refuse to submit to him, we will lose out on all the benefits of having him as our shepherd. Let me take a moment and paraphrase the shepherd's psalm for those who want to refuse to submit to God as their shepherd. It might go something like this. "The Lord is not my shepherd. I lack everything. I'm always on the other side of the fence looking in at the green pastures. I can never get to the quiet waters, so my soul is dry and barren. I always take the wrong path and get lost. Every time I go through the dark valley, I live in fear, for I'm all alone and there is no one to comfort me. I eat crumbs underneath the table of my enemies. There's no oil for my head, and my cup is always empty. Surely, wickedness and hate will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will be cast out of the house of the Lord forever." Do you want to refuse? It doesn't sound near as comforting as the original Word of God teaches us. We need to submit to the Lord first and worship Him because He's worthy of our worship, deserving of our devotion. So we submit because He'll take care of us. He is the great shepherd. And we can trust Him completely. W-O-R-S-H. H, hear God's proclamation. Today, if only you would hear His voice. If we would only listen to God's instructions, if we could only follow His directions, if we could only heed His commands. Just think about the grief that mankind could be spared of if we would only learn to listen to God. The secret, everybody's like, I love secrets. Well, the secret to living a successful Christian life, the secret to living a life of love, the secret to worshiping God is all contained within God's Word. We just need to hear what He's saying. In fact, Paul warns young Timothy, he was going to be a pastor. He warns him by saying this in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. There's too many people today that want to only listen to what they want to hear. There's too many people today, even within the church, that want to pick and choose which parts they like. But church, the teachings of the Word of God and the Bible are not mix and match. They are the Word of God and they are true, and it benefits our lives when we listen to it and we obey it. And that's why it takes me to the I. I is implement God's plan. The whole person, whole purpose of listening to God's Word is to implement His Word. Amen? Do not, listen to verse 8, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah. As you did at the day of Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me, they tried me, though they had seen what I did. Let me give you a brief history lesson. The name Meribah means contending, and the name Massah literally means testing. These names, both of them refer to actually the same historical place where the Israelites had contended and tested God in grumbling and complaining in the desert. This incident is recorded in Exodus 17. The Israelites are traveling through the desert on their way from Egypt to the promised land. And rather than trusting God to provide for them, they began to grumble and complain. In fact, verse 7 of chapter 17 says this, and he, talking of Moses, called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord God among us or not? Even though they had seen the mighty hand of God, the miracles He did, the plagues that He sent, the Red Sea parting so they could walk across on dry ground, even though they had seen the power of God firsthand, their first reaction when faced with a problem was that God had abandoned them. And therefore they began to grumble and complain. I wonder how often that happens in our lives. What's your first response to a problem? Is it, God, you can take care of this? Or do you begin to whine and complain? Let me tell you, grumbling and complaining is the exact opposite of worship. You cannot worship while you are whining. You cannot glorify God when you are grumbling. Church, we have been called to worship and to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so finally, W-O-R-S-H-I-P, prepare your heart for God's presence. Listen to the last two verses. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. In this passage, we find that the problem with the Israelites was that their hearts had gone astray. In fact, the author of Hebrews in chapter 3 quotes Psalm 95. In fact, he comments in verse 12 to what was written there. He says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Church, did you know we can see to it that we don't have to have a sinful, unbelieving heart? The Israelites in the wilderness disobeyed the voice of the Lord, and they suffered the consequences. But today, the church of the living God has a chance to hear and heed once again the voice of the Lord. And we can make sure that we do not repeat the mistakes of that generation. While that generation was barred from entering God's rest, the writer of Hebrews tells us that we can enter that rest while it's still available. Hebrews 4:11, let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Church, we need to work at preparing our hearts to come into the presence of God. Worship does not come automatically for believers. But each day, we prepare our hearts for worship. Pastor Matt, would you come? I'm talking about something as simple as praying every morning, something like this: God, help me quiet my heart today. Help me hear from you. Help me focus my thoughts on you throughout the day. Taking time to prepare your heart to enter God's presence. You might just be amazed when you begin to walk in His presence, what He's able to do. I know seven thoughts is a lot of thoughts to remember. So let me simplify it for you. Worship. Worship. I'm not talking about music, I'm talking about life. Where are we as the church no longer ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It just overflows because I know the great God. I know the great King. You know what? And I've seen the mistakes of the generations of the past. And I am not backing down now. I'm standing up for my Jesus. Church, we are in a battle, whether you realize it or not. My son and I had a talk yesterday. We were watching the movie Noah. I wanted to reveal it, just I need to observe what's going on out there. And we're sitting there, I'm like, that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. And then we got to talking about some of the things that they did cover. And I'm like, well, let's go to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? So we open it up and here's what it says. And we begin to talk. And church, I need to be clear. I'm not up on everything. I don't go to the movies that much. And so I don't really know what's all out there. But I'm telling you, we've got a world that is misleading. And I don't know how many people watched Noah and thought that was the Word of God. But if you did, you were taught a lie. So why don't we just go back to the Word of God and let's take our stand on His Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Bottom line, right, Bill? Amen, he goes. Come on, Bill, one more time. Hey, yes. Church, we have nothing to back off from. I'm telling you, my God is seated on the throne, and He is the Savior. He sent His Son, we're saved, and we ought to want to worship. Worship. I know, can't do that at work. Yes, you can. You know what? You make melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, I know there's laws and what you can and can't do out there, but I want you to know I'm a pastor, and I can go in the Kohl's, I can go in the Myers, I can go in the McDonald's, and I can, what, McDonald's up here. I can go in there, and I have no problem with telling them who I am. I do drive-through ministry right at this McDonald's right here. I walk in, and the other day, there was a lady. She's like, she was just so happy to see me. And it's been a long time. It's a long story, but there's a lady at another McDonald's by our house. I don't like McDonald's, so don't get the... I really don't, but they are quick. Not all of them, though. But I drive through, and it was during the time with my ankle and all of that, and I drove through. She's like, it's been a long time since I've seen you. I said, yeah, it's been a while, but I said, I'm doing better, and God's helping me. Church, just work God into the conversation. Just work Jesus. You know what? Tomorrow, go to work. Just say, you know what? We saw six people got baptized yesterday. What's baptized? Do you know baptized is that the word is to die? You know what? They're dying to themselves, and they're living in Christ. Just tell people, ask questions. Church, overflow in worship. Worship, worship. Lifestyle. Amen? Stand up. You got a song? What's something we can lift? All right, he's going to lift it, and I'm going to close this. Ready? Here we go.
And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because
hallelujah!
You are good. You are good to me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm going to let you pray today. I'm going to let you talk to God. I'm just going to bless you. I see someone, Diane, is it real quick? Mike. Okay. And folks, just hang on. We're just going to listen to the Lord.
As we were worshiping the Lord in the song, it says, oh, you are so beautiful, you are so wonderful, you are so glorious. It's God was speaking to me, and I didn't know if it was just for me or for everybody, but it's for all of us. He's saying, you don't know how beautiful I am. You don't know how glorious I am. But I'm about to reveal myself in a new realm. I'm about to reveal myself in a way that you have never seen me before. So I ask you, my people, to keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me and see me in everything. And see me in the small things as well as the big things. My people, I'm about to do a new thing. And I want to reveal myself more clearly to you so that you can continue to worship me as I deserve to be worshiped.
Amen. 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 He's wonderful. He's beautiful. He's glorious. That's who he is. I want you to pray today because that's worship. I'm going to bless you, but here's what I'm going to do. Next week, the next thing now is you need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to understand the life of the Spirit and what God wants to do in us. Then the next week, I'm going to talk about our personal world evangelism, that you are a missionary. You've been called. Then the last week of this one, and I'm not sure it's going to end after four, to be honest, but the next thing now, I want to get into some practical things. Because practically, we've got to take care of what God has given us facility-wise. Right now, we're trying to get our air fixed, and I've got my initial quote of $50,000 to fix it. Yay! What am I to do, pal? I know the one who has all the supply needed for that. Church, and we've been good stewards, and I'll go ahead and tell you, we have that ready. It's not, I'm not going to come to you and go, oh, well, we got to fix that. We have been good stewards, and we're trying to be good stewards. We're about to make some changes. This morning, the backdrop, I'm trying to find a blend between trying to stay somewhat modern and not get old, but not be also cutting edge, and it's all about this. It's not. Church, I just like freshness. I like newness. He likes new songs. He glories in that. So I just want to find how we're going to live for this. But I'm going to talk to you about some practical things. And church, I'm dreaming. We're 1 year from paying off our debt. 1 year. I don't know the full history of 70-something years of this church, but I know it's time for us. Not forever, maybe, but this is a season that we need to go, this is what we need to do. And church, I'm telling you, God honors. And let's walk in unity. Let's walk in faith. So here's my closing statement, because you're going to pray, right? You're going to worship, right? So my closing statement is, have a worship-filled week. Worship. Worship. God bless you. Love on each other. God bless you and that little girl. You are so blessed. All you who got baptized, blessings on you. Church, go and worship the Lord this week. God bless you.